Artificial intelligence, aka AI, is a tool that is generally assumed to have been created to support humanity. Regardless of the ways AI is used, good or bad, it's up to the people to keep it in check and prevent it from overpowering humanity, wiping out livelihoods, making the ultra wealthy even wealthier, and dumbing down the populace. My name is Katrina, and for the next hour, I'll be hosting discussions on interesting perspectives and issues around AI. The first half of the hour will focus on AI's effect on the economy and workforce, as well as one writer and activist effort to get those in the advanced tech world to pledge time and effort towards a universal basic income. The second half of the hour will focus on how AI is being weaponized to exploit innocent everyday people, as well as those in the public eye, and recommendations for just and ethical regulations around AI. Thanks for joining. My first guest is Scott Santens, who I had on last month to talk about his work advancing universal basic income, a proposal where all regularly receive a set sum of money, regardless of their employment status or wealth, to cover basic living expenses and ensure financial stability. Scott Santens has been re researching and advocating for the concept of unconditional universal basic income, or UBI, since 2013. He's the founder and CEO of the Income to Support All Foundation, host of the Basic Income Show, and also serves on the board of directors of the Gerald Huff Fund for Humanity and has a Substack, Forward to Civilization. His debut book about UBI and how to pay for it is titled Let There Be Money. Also joining is futurist, public speaker, and New York Times bestselling author Martin Ford, who is a leading expert on artificial intelligence, the robotics revolution, job automation, and the impact of accelerating technology on workplaces, the economy, and society. Martin recently released an updated 2026 edition of his best-selling book, Rise of the Robots: Technology and the Threat of a Jobless Future. Scott and Martin, thank you for joining me today. Scott, last time you were on, we neared the end of our discussion with you briefly explaining what the AI Pledge for Humanity is. Please educate new listeners what this pledge aims to achieve and towards whom it is targeted.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me again today. So about the Pledge for Humanity, again, is a pledge focused on those in the AI movement or in the AI space, the tech space, pledging to this concept, to this idea that because AI was trained by all of us, that we all deserve a share of what it makes possible, and that they will pledge a something substantial, like something real, towards making an AI dividend happen. So instead of just like mentioning it, like doing something real, putting real resources towards this, because it's not something that we continue just talking about, but we actually have to like make this real now that AI is already starting its to impact us all.
Okay, so by AI dividend, you basically mean money from artificial intelligence put towards money for people, right?
Yeah, money from artificial intelligence, but even just the tech sector as a whole. The pledge also refers to how inequality has been de increasing for decades due to the automation that's already been happening, like in the manufacturing sector. And so essentially, we should make productivity increases work for all of us.
Okay, so I have a question for you, Martin. So your work regarding artificial intelligence and advanced technology threatening the workforce for all levels of education and status has spanned almost two decades. What are you seeing and understanding that has made you resolute in your conviction to educate on, AI taking over the economy and the workforce?
Right. As you said, I started really writing about this subject way back in 2009. And basically, at that point, it seemed kind of obvious to me that ultimately, at some point in the future, machines, AI, robotics were probably going to displace most workers. And the reason is that machines will ultimately match or exceed the capability of of most human workers. So they'll be able to do the jobs better and cheaper than most people will. And at the time I first wrote that, I thought it might be at least, 50 years in the future. It was a very futuristic idea at that point and something that was very much dismissed by economists. But certainly we've seen remarkable progress in both AI and robotics. And obviously since the release of ChatGPT, which is, I guess it's about 3.5 years now, I mean, it's really been kind of a remarkable level of progress. And that has really focused a lot of people, I think, on this issue. It still isn't clear that we're yet at the point where this is really, going to result in job displacement. I'm kind of agnostic on that. It may be beginning to happen now, it may happen at some point in the future, but I do believe it's inevitable. And that's something where I probably differ with many people, especially economists. But essentially, I believe that AI is a unique, unprecedented technology because it is going to ultimately displace the very thing that is our core competence, right? Our intelligence, our cognitive capability is the feature that has allowed us to adapt to technological changes in the past and remain relevant, right? But now AI is going to actually come for that unique ability that we have and compete with that most important quality. And so I do think that ultimately that's going to result in a different outcome. And so that's why we really need to think about a way to restructure both the social safety net and the whole economy in order to adapt to that new reality, which is what really brought me to the idea of a universal basic income.
Okay, two things. One, well, we'll just go into universal basic income. So you have signed the AI Pledge for Humanity, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so you believe universal basic income is part of the solution to this issue. When did you start learning about universal basic income, and what about it has been like, okay, yes, this is the answer to the problem that I've been telling people about for years?
Right. I mean, I in my very first book, I didn't even use the term UBI, but I wrote about the need to basically provide another stream of income to people, right? Because the whole idea is that they're going to lose income from employment, and so we're going to have to replace that with something else. And it's important to note that my argument for that is not just about social justice or fairness or anything like that. It's really about economic function. The economy can't work, a market economy or capitalism cannot work unless you have people who have the means to purchase the products and services that are being produced, right? Without that, you cannot have a vibrant economy. Ultimately, you could get into a kind of economic downward spiral. And so that's sort of my basic argument. And frankly, I'm a bit agnostic on the exact form of that. It could be a UBI. It could be a guaranteed minimum income. It could be a minimum income tax. There are various approaches that essentially do the same thing. They get income directly into the hands of people. And I would, frankly, be happy with any of those. But I do think that a UBI is certainly a very, very important idea that deserves a lot of attention and research and pilot projects, as a way to approach this issue.
Okay, so you've spoken around the world amidst some pretty prestigious groups of people who care about at least technology and AI. Is the idea of a UBI a common answer to these issues in these spaces to these people, or is it really an idea that's still lagging behind?
I think it's probably the most commonly suggested idea. I mean, people that really think about this, Elon Musk has talked about it. I think most of the people that have thought deeply about the potential impact on employment, UBI is clearly one of the top ideas out there that gets considered. But what I would say is that it really is just kind of a theoretical idea at this point. There have been some pilot projects with it, but I think that virtually in every country in the world, and especially in the United States, it's a staggering political challenge to ever, make this a reality. And my sense is that it could only ever really happen in the midst of a crisis, right? If we really got into a challenging situation, then there was no alternative, then maybe we could actually get it done.
Yeah. So the point of the AI Pledge for Humanity, in my own understanding, is to create a sense of urgency around understanding the immediate threats AI poses and working on the solution ASAP. We know that at least a few influential people in the tech world, like Elon Musk, have spoken in favor of a UBI. But again, we aren't seeing the action or even really the recognition that people are losing jobs now and not some far-off future. Scott, those with some influence who have signed the pledge, what are some specific pledges have been made, if any? Or have people just signed, or did they, has there been some actual like promises made?
I would like to say that there have been some impressive promises made so far, but there have not been. There have been the signers, they've put their names on it, and some have even pledged to give like a percentage of their income or wealth to something. It's built on like an honor system, so people are free to, to those resources where they feel that they'd be most effective. So I don't like watch and make sure that everyone is donating to something to count. But some of the names of the people who have signed, Andrew Yang has signed it, and Vernon Smith, who is a Nobel winning economist. He won his Nobel in 2002, has signed. And also Dustin Moskovitz, who's co-founder of Facebook, and Justin Rosenstein, co-founder of Asana, Moshe Vardy, university professor, Rice University, Martin Ford, of course, and Richard Wilkinson, who is the co-author of The Spirit Level, and one other one to mention too, Andrew Stern, who was the former president of the Service Employees International Union, has signed.
Okay. So what are some steps that people who do have influence, on the AI world or whatnot, what steps could they take if they wanted to move this along? Is it educating people, coordinating with governments? I mean, what in your mind you would love to see amongst people who, they have the ability to move in these, influential spaces?
I would like to see something beyond pilots. We've already had almost 200 pilots now in the U.S. at the small level in these in the various cities that have done this post-pandemic. I would really like to see a kind of second generation kind of approach to this, which is, I think, a state becoming the second state, besides Alaska, to have some form of universal dividend. I would love to see someone put resources into that, and also just, really getting serious about this, like, putting resources towards, say, podcasters with influence, putting resources towards, various politicians that are very pro UBI, and just like really, really talking about it, and not just like the occasional mention of saying like, oh, it's someday in the future we may need this, but really just start hammering the point home that there has to be movement on this issue.
Right. So I'm kind of trying to imagine what it would be like, like on the federal level, if this were, say, because Bernie Sanders has written about how we all, AI owes us a percentage. So I'm just kind of wondering, like on the legislative level, basically, would it be like a percentage off of all AI earnings? Like, is that, does that sound reasonable or? What do you think?
In regards to getting some kind of real AI dividend going, yeah, there's all sorts of ways to go about it. Essentially, what Bernie has suggested is something kind of like the Alaska dividend, in which we would have a large sovereign wealth fund, and then a percentage of, it would grow on an annual basis, so a percentage of its earnings would go into a dividend. Bernie Sanders suggested 5%. As a dividend component of something involving after, half of all of the stock from these AI companies goes into this sovereign wealth fund. That's certainly one approach. But really, it's just the important part is there just needs to be, I think, a universal payment without means tests or work requirement. We should see it as a dividend that we're owed. And I think it's important to see it that way because, again, we are the ones who all of our data and our work went into training the AI.
Okay. And Martin, just out of curiosity, do you have any ideas of what people, with influence, what steps they could be taking to help, people in these areas to understand, like, okay, let's do this. I know that was not worded very well, but hopefully you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my focus in terms of when I do speaking engagements and things like that is just to get more people involved and really to build more intellectual capital in this area. I mean, I would like to see more economists become interested in this idea. I would like to see the various think tanks in Washington become much more interested in this idea because, for example, in my book, I sketch out sort of general ideas. But that's very different from crafting legislation or really coming up with detailed policy proposals. So I think the one thing we need to do is we need to attract more of the people with, that kind of very practical expertise in actually crafting policy to really become more interested in this. And there definitely has been a shift in interest among economists. I mean, they used to be completely uninterested in this topic. Now they're quite interested, but they, from what I can see, they're very focused primarily on just trying to look at the data, sift through the data, and figure out, is AI actually taking the jobs at this moment, rather than kind of thinking ahead to the future and answering the question, if in fact that does happen, what are we going to do about it? What policies can we put in place? And so at this point in time, I'm not sure we can ask much more than just having a bunch of people focusing on that and thinking about that. So that if we do at some point in the future get into this situation, we've got some ideas in the drawer, that we can pull out and implement relatively quickly.
Right. Okay, so Scott, help me and the listeners understand. So this pledge, is it just for people who, have some influence? Can anyone sign? I mean, what are you wanting to see here?
Yeah, so there's the pledge component of people who read the pledge and support it and want to dedicate resources to meeting that pledge. And then there's the solidarity component of those who sign the pledge and want to encourage others to sign the pledge. So anybody can sign the pledge. I can just read just a little bit of this of what people are signing on to, just in short. Let's say
Yeah.
that so this is the we the undersigned now pledge to make this vision reality, to invest meaningfully from any AI related earnings, whether from work or asset ownership, into initiatives that make an AI dividend real, to support organizations and programs that provide unconditional cash transfers, pilot guaranteed basic income programs, and demonstrate how an AI dividend can unleash human potential, to champion universal basic income, permanent, regular, unconditional payments to all as the rightful dividend from our shared technological inheritance, and to back not only the principle of an AI dividend, but the political and economic will to make it real, understanding that an economy capable of producing unprecedented wealth is capable of sharing that wealth, and that those who benefit most from AI bear the greatest responsibility to ensure it does.
Great. Where can people find the pledge?
You can find the pledge at AI, pledgeforhumanity.org.
Okay. All right. If you're interested in signing this pledge, go to that website and list for listeners who want to do more to, educate others or, just get involved in general. Scott, if they contacted your Income to Support All Foundation, would there be ways for them to get involved, or do you suggest they take independent action?
And I suggest both, any, like you can certainly reach out to me at itsafoundation.org, my foundation, and we can try to connect you based on where you are, but also really it just comes down to, yeah, what do you feel that you can that can have the most impact that you can do? And I just suggest everybody ask themselves that.
Well, so your pledge is relatively new. It was created early summer, right? Or like late spring, something like that.
It's been up for a few months.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious if you've heard of people like bringing the pledge to employers or like higher education facilities to educate about. Probably not, but I mean, it's an idea, don't you think?
Yeah, anybody, it would be great to have some kind of organizing around getting some group that you're a part of or some business you're a part of to sign on to it for sure.
Yeah, I think that both employers and higher education facilities would be great places to kind of educate the people around there. So thank you for spending some time with me today. If you listeners, if you're interested in learning more about universal basic income, Scott is open to give. He's going to do a giveaway of his book. Can you tell us a little bit more about your book?
Sure, it's a very it's a short book about just kind of the basics of basic income and through a modern monetary lens, just to show that to try to help people understand how like the fiat money system works and how taxes works and how UBI is like an important component of like a market economy.
Okay, and so this is a hard copy?
Yeah, physical
Okay.
copy, yeah.
Okay, physical copy. Yeah. So, if anyone wants to enter into a drawing to get this book, please text 971-220-5979 and just type UBI, and by the end of the hour we'll choose a winner and we'll let you know. We'll text you back. So thank you again for spending time with me today. You're both welcome to share your websites, social media, and any closing words.
My Twitter or X handle is mfordfuture, so you can follow me there, and you'll also find links to my book and so forth there.
Okay. And do you have a website?
Yeah, same thing, mfordfuture.com.
Okay. And Scott?
My website is scottsantons.com, and yeah, you can follow me at Scott Santons at virtually any social media platform.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for spending some time with me today. Thank you, listeners, for listening. The next half hour will be a continuation of X-Ray's hour-long focus on artificial intelligence and humanity. And again, if you want to enter into a drawing to win Scott's book, please text 971-220-5979 and just type in UBI. Thank you so much.